thanks for downloading the audio podcast of this week's sermon. We pray you'll be blessed and encouraged with the words you hear.
Sound of a heavy rain. We should be excited, folks. 1 Kings 18:41 to 46. I haven't forgotten it's Palm Sunday, but it's not a Palm Sunday kind of a sermon, but we'll not worry. Then Elijah said to Ahab, "Go eat and drink, for there is a sound of a heavy rain," or the sound of an abundance of rain. So Ahab went off to eat and drink, but Elijah climbed to the top of Mount Carmel, bent down to the ground and put his face between his knees. "Go and look towards the sea," he told his servant, and he went up and looked. "There is nothing there," he said. Seven times Elijah said, "Go back." The seventh time the servant reported, "A cloud, as small as a man's hand, is rising from the sea." So Elijah said, "Go and tell Ahab, hitch up your chariot and go down before the rain stops you." Meanwhile, the sky grew black with clouds, the wind rose, a heavy rain came on, and Ahab rode off to Jezreel. The power of the Lord came upon Elijah, and tucking his cloak into his belt, he ran ahead of Ahab all the way to Jezreel. At the beginning of chapter 18, we read another week that God told Elijah, "Go and present yourself to Ahab. I will send rain on the land." From the moment Elijah received that word from the Lord, altogether, it probably took a couple of months. First, he had to walk from where he was in Zarephath to Samaria to meet Ahab. Then Ahab had to do what Elijah requested. He had to gather the prophets of Baal, the prophets of Asherah, and the people of Israel together on Mount Carmel. Then we saw 2 weeks ago, there was the very dramatic falling down from heaven of fire to consume the sacrifice, the stones of the altar, lick up the water in the trench. Then there was the slaughter of the prophets of Baal in the Kishon Valley. But as yet, the promised rain has not come. We also saw a fortnight ago, God always has a divine order in his plans and purposes. When the people saw the fire come down from heaven in Mount Carmel in answer to the prayer of Elijah, the people recognized Baal is not God. Baal has no power. Yahweh, the Lord, he is God, and he alone is God. But there's still no rain. Elijah knows that the fire of God and the victory on Mount Carmel has been very significant, but it is not the final step. Rain falling again on the parched land will be the final step in the glorious victory and vindication of the Lord as God. It will show that God is sovereign over all. He's the one who controls every force of nature. But more than that, very often rain in the Bible is a spiritual symbol of the blessing of God, of the refreshing of the Holy Spirit. And Elijah knows that he must not stop short of pressing in to all that God has promised to do. This morning I want to bring 2 points. Firstly, spiritual ears that hear. Some of you have experienced a degree of hearing loss. Now, it is often one of those things that happens to people as they get older. It can happen through illness. It can happen if your hearing's been damaged through loud noises at work, maybe if you were in the military, or if you listened to too much heavy metal music in your younger days. I just don't think maybe that's anybody here, but who knows? But anybody who has experienced some hearing loss will tell you how debilitating and frustrating it can be. You go into a social situation, people are talking, and you can't distinguish the voice of the person speaking to you. Maybe you can't hear the phone ringing at home, or just, it's debilitating and it's frustrating. But there is something more serious that can happen to a Christian than losing their physical sense of hearing, and that is losing their ability to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. Losing your sense of spiritual perception. Sadly, many people lose their spiritual perception, their spiritual hearing, and they're not even aware of it. I wonder this morning, how tuned in are you to what God is saying to you and to what God is saying to our church at this time? Are you completely deaf? Or are you struggling to find clarity? You know, a bit like, I don't think with the DAB radios you do it so much, but you know how you used to try and tune in a radio and there'd be interference and it'd be hard to just get the station clearly? Is that how you're hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit to you personally and to our church? Elijah tells Ahab to eat and drink because there is a sound of a heavy rain. There's a sound of an abundance of rain. At this point, nobody else can hear it. There isn't a cloud in the sky, and yet Elijah has an acute sense of spiritual hearing. His ears are tuned in to the purposes and the plans of God. And he doesn't just hear a faint little shower, a little drizzle. He hears the sound of a heavy rain, the sound of abundance. There are no outward signs yet, but in his own spirit, he can hear what God is about to do. If you're spiritually a bit hard of hearing, oh, and you're in this church, pray that God will unblock your spiritual ears, because the people who will push forward in prayer and press in to everything that God has for us are the people who hear the sound of the rain in their spirit before there's even a sign of it happening in the natural realm. Oh, Lord, why did Elijah climb to the top of Mount Carmel? It was a high and a lonely place, away from the crowds overlooking the Mediterranean Sea. Elijah had just had a very public and a very victorious experience on Mount Carmel. But now the crowds are dispersed. He knows in himself he needs to get away from the crowds. He needs to have time alone with God. Any wise man or woman of God knows you can't always be in the public eye. You need time on your own in the presence of God, unseen by anyone. Time to be completely alone, open and honest before God, with no onlookers, no ears hearing, to truly pour out your heart to God. This is what we're encouraged to do in Psalm 62, verse 8, one of my favorite psalms. Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your hearts to him. Pour out your hearts to him, for God is our refuge. God loves to hear his people pour out their hearts to him. Pouring out of the heart, it doesn't suggest a polished conversation. It's not, when the psalmist is writing this, it's not a polished conversation. It is intimate, personal prayer, away from all ears apart from God's. To him and to him alone can we truly convey the deepest desires and yearnings of our hearts, our cries, our sighs, our groaning in the spirit, prayers that sometimes wouldn't even make sense to another person's ears, prayers that come from deep within us, prayers that God hears. This was a kind of praying Elijah was doing on Mount Carmel. His position, kneeling, his head between his knees, sounds like a mixture of reverence and humility. God honored Elijah before all the people. When the fire fell from heaven in response to his short and a simple prayer, God honored Elijah. But Elijah didn't rise above himself. Elijah knew he was totally dependent on God. Elijah knew only God could have sent that fire from heaven. And the same here, he knows only God can send the rain on the parched land. Sometimes Christians, maybe particularly Christian leaders, rise above themselves. They think too highly of themselves. They maybe see and experience God doing amazing things through their ministry. Pride is the most subtle, but the most destructive sin that can enter into the heart of any of God's children. It puffs us up. We think we're something when we're actually nothing. We don't realize sometimes every gift we have, every ability we have, every good thing that happens through our lives and ministry is purely from the grace and the mercy of God. It's not of us. This event happened. That fire on Mount Carmel, it's one of the highlights in the whole of the scriptures. Elijah is aware of the greatness of it, but he doesn't seek the adulation of the crowds. He goes off to an isolated place, the top of Mount Carmel. Alone, he bows down with his head between his knees. And he recognizes, Lord, you are God over all. He shows complete humility and complete dependence before the throne of God. Some of the commentators say that Elijah bowing down with his head between his knees is so that he wouldn't see anything that was happening around him. I don't know why. I don't know why he did it. But I know one thing, what we see in the spirit needs to be brighter, clearer, more focused, and more real than anything we see around us in the natural realm. If we only look on the natural outward appearance, if we only look on the natural way, we will never see clearly in the spirit. Because we will become distracted and discouraged by what we hear and see. You read of anyone in the Bible to whom a promise from God came, and each one of them had to learn to see and hear in the Spirit, even when everything they saw around them was completely opposed to the promise of God. Abraham is probably the best example. Now, I know from my own experience, it can be hard to keep holding on to the spiritual promise when the natural appearance looms too large. You can hear something from God in your heart, a promise, maybe for your family, for our church, a sound of a heavy rain. And before you know it, friends, all sorts of distractions and discouragements and downright demonic attacks come along to do what? To distract, to discourage, and basically to throw you off the path of promise. Have you ever experienced it? I certainly have. What can we do about it? Many fall at this hurdle. They don't want the spiritual struggle of fighting through to see the promise fulfilled. Or they don't realize that there is a spiritual struggle. It's called spiritual warfare, and it's real. They get so despondent by the discouragements, the distractions, the oppression. They think, did God give that promise? Was that thing a figment of my imagination? Friends, Elijah was a man just like us, James tells us, just like us. But we need more men and women like Elijah. Men and women who will go to the place of prayer alone and cry out to God until the promise is fulfilled. Men and women who know how to feed their own spirit with the word of God, with the truth of God. Some words that I've been meditating on this week. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Hallelujah. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. It's not us. It's not about my strength. Elijah, we're going to see in a couple of weeks' time, Elijah was very human. It's not about our strength. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God. Take your stand like men and women of God against the devil's schemes. Keep the promise of God before our eyes and realize everything is under the lordship of Jesus Christ. Everything. He will deal with every barrier that stands against his promises being fulfilled. There's a wee song, we used to sing it years ago. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. And then secondly and finally, but it'll be a long point. Praying the promise. It's interesting that although God had promised Elijah it was time to send rain on the land, God promised that. 18:1, you read it there. Elijah still had to pray and ask God for it. You might think, well, if God has said it, why should Elijah have to pray for it? That is one of the wonderful things about God. Although God has purposed things for his people, he still involves us in the process of asking for them. He chooses us to be part of his plan. Do you not think that's amazing? Amazing. We ask God for something. He hears our prayers. He answers us. Elijah still had to exercise faith in asking God for the rain to come. Elijah was praying in faith. He knew God will send the rain. But he knew he still had to pray for it to come. Amazing. He had to keep on praying until he saw the evidence of it. So many different kinds of prayer. But this is an example of the prayer of faith and persistence. Some people think, if God says you don't even need to pray about it, where's that in the Bible? Or it's wrong to persist in prayer. Then you're showing doubt, not faith. That's not in the Bible either. Persistence in prayer is in the Bible. In his own spirit, Elijah already was hearing a heavy rain, but there was no physical evidence of it on the land yet. He's sitting there praying, or he's kneeling praying, and he sends his servant, he says, go and look out over the sea. 6 times his servant went to look towards the sea, but each time he came back and reported that, well, there's nothing to report. I wonder, did the servant get a bit tired or disappointed or think, what exactly am I looking for here? His words to Elijah, you see them on the screen there. There is nothing there. Not that he couldn't see anything. There is nothing there. You might think I'm being fussy over words, but when somebody repeatedly says, there is nothing there, it can be hard to keep believing. Is that not true? Keep others believing. Elijah wasn't so easily discouraged. Maybe we'd be, but he knew he had heard in his spirit, with those spiritual ears, with that spiritual perception, he had heard the sound of a heavy rain. And he might have heard that servant coming back 6 times and saying, there's nothing there. But he was going to keep praying. He kept his head between his knees. He was blocking out everything in the natural realm, keeping his eyes and his ears tuned to God. Reminded me a bit like Jacob wrestling with that angel of the Lord. I will not let you go until you bless me. Oh, how scared we can be with prayers like that. God wants us, friends, to persist. He wants us to press in. He wants us to not give up. Friends, this morning, I know it can be dangerous sometimes to speak out, build unrealistic expectation in hearts. But the truth is this, in my spirit, I have heard the sound of heavy rain over Ballymoney Elam. I have heard it. At this moment in our church, we are experiencing some drizzles, putting them down or whatever, but drizzles of blessing. So maybe heavy spits. I have heard an abundance. I have heard a deluge in my spirit. And it's important for us as a church not to stop short of the promise. That mighty fire on Mount Carmel was phenomenal, but it wasn't the final step. There was rain to come. And in my own spirit, I feel so strongly, friends, that we are not just to be content with the drizzle. 8 people being baptized next Sunday evening. That is wonderful, truly wonderful. God is doing some wonderful things among us, but we mustn't stop desert. We need to persist. We need to press in. We need to not give up until we are deluged from heaven with the rain of the Holy Spirit upon us. What will that look like? It's going to bring change to us as a church. The Holy Spirit always brings change. I think the biggest change is going to be in all of our hearts. I've experienced changes in my heart over these last few years, phenomenal changes. We're all going to experience changes. It's going to mean repentance in the church. It's going to mean putting things right. It's going to mean restoring broken relationships. It's going to mean stirring of hearts that are cold. It's going to mean greater release and freedom in praise and worship. It's going to mean more life of the Spirit. But I tell you the greatest thing it's going to mean, and for me the most important thing, it's going to mean salvation of souls, friends. That's what it's going to mean. The Holy Spirit comes, and always he revives the church, and then he saves souls. It doesn't happen the other way around. He revives cold hearts. He restores, he mends, he breaks down barriers. And then he says, I'll send people now. I'll send people now to get saved. Does God not always want to revive his church and make it effective in winning souls and discipling believers? Surely he does. Surely. I know there are times and seasons in church life, but I cannot believe that God is not wanting us at this time to know a greater reality of the Holy Spirit moving among us. And it's never just for us. He loves the lost with a holy passion. Jesus Christ came to die on a cross because he loves the lost. That was us. But there's many who are lost. And that same passion for souls is still in the heart of God. And it should be in the hearts of us who have experienced his grace and his forgiveness. We do. We get spiritually dull. We get self-centered. We get distracted. But he's gracious and he calls us back. He calls us back and he's calling to us. I have been in ministry this year for 31 years as I left Bible college, and that makes me feel a bit old. I've experienced much in church life, the ups and downs of church life, the times of blessing and refreshing, the times of dryness and struggle. One thing I know, over the years, you do learn to be able to read what's going on, discern what God's doing. This, friends, is undoubtedly a time when the Spirit is moving among us, undoubtedly. I've spoken to many of you who are sensitive to the Spirit, and you sense the work of the Spirit. And at this time, the actions of Elijah remind us, don't just sit back and relax. It's time to press in to the promise. Elijah had in his heart and his spirit the sound of rain, but there was no evidence of it yet. And then the servant came back the seventh time, and he says, there is a cloud the size of a man's hand, and it's rising from the sea. That's not very big, the size of a man's hand. There hasn't been a cloud in the sky for 3.5 years. Quite something. The minute Elijah heard him say, there's a cloud the size of a man's hand rising from the sea, he got up. He said, it's only a little cloud, but its physical and its spiritual significance cannot be overestimated. Sometimes we too easily overlook or dismiss things that are happening and we don't think that they're important. The little things that happen in church life are signs of the greater to come. But we mustn't stop short. We need to press in to everything that God has for us. Last Monday, after Sunday, you always need something after a Sunday. Last Monday, I went up Trosston. If you've never walked up Trosston, it's the tallest peak in County Antrim, and it's not even high. But you need to have wellington boots on or gaiters. It is so boggy, it's unreal. Up Trosston, there was not a person, probably for miles around, completely desolate kind of a landscape up there. And friends, I have been hearing this sound of heavy rain in my spirit. Last Monday, it was misty, but it wasn't rainy. But in my spirit, I could hear such a rain. I was just calling out to God for County Antrim, for souls to be saved. From the north, from the south, from the east to the west. Bring the souls. Bring the souls. Friends, this morning, we are seeing something in our church. We are seeing the cloud rising. But it is a sign of greater to come. But we need to be focused in prayer. We need to not allow ourselves to be distracted or discouraged. We need to not allow demonic oppression and attack to put us off the path. But we need to rise up and say, we are going to press in. I have often said, I have no ambition whatsoever for myself. I have no ambition whatsoever for Ballymoney Elam in the sense of I couldn't care less if nobody knew the name of Rhonda Adams or nobody knew the name of Graham Adams or Ballymoney Elam. But I have huge ambition that the name of Jesus Christ is glorified and exalted in his church. And that's just not us feeling good in church. That is that the numbers are being added to the church. Because that's the sign what God's doing. That's the sign in the New Testament. People were being added daily to the church. Oh, do it in our day, Lord. Who despises the day of small things, or don't despise the day of small beginnings. A verse. Wonderful verse. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Do you believe it? Do you believe it? Finish now. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. We not often say that to people who are not yet saved. The word of the Lord comes to us. Seek the Lord while he may be found. There's never an ideal time. Never. There's always health issues, personal matters, work things, family matters. There's always challenges. There's always discouragements. There's always distractions. There is always. Friends, there's no ideal time. That's an illusion. Now's the time. Now, to seek the Lord, to press into the promise. Elijah's servant came and said, there's a cloud rising in the sea, small as a man's hand. Elijah got up. He said, go and tell Ahab, hitch up his chariot so that the rain doesn't stop him. The sky grew black with clouds. The wind rose and a heavy rain came. all. Your love is
great. Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like any more information, have a look at our website at www.ballymoneyelam.com.